Welcome to Nothing But Blue Skies Podcast. I'm your host, Alex, or as I'm known on Twitter, DJ Payne. And tonight my guests are...
Boris.
And...
Safi.
And we've got this special guy that's on here next to me now. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Andrew Fairyfoss-Webb. Cove local. One of the boys.
Yeah. One of the boys that has to sit in the pub watching the games.
Band crew checking in.
Cool. So, how's everybody 2 weeks been?
Drunk. I was extremely drunk on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Watching Southie cope with drunkenness on Saturday.
Nice.
It was unreal.
Actually, Flossie got warned about my drunkenness. He had a bird at home and had to whisk her away before I actually got home.
Yeah, you know when Southie comes home when he's drunk, when all the doors get slammed and not locked.
And all the windows get broken.
Yeah, Southie's home, windows broken, doors unlocked.
Good times.
Cool. So, let's start from the big game, which was, 2 weeks ago now, the Sydney Derby. Look, let's not talk about the off-field action. Let's just talk mostly about what happened on the field during the game and all that. So,
because on the pitch is where it really matters.
Yes, it is. So, Boris, would you like to kick it off?
We got 3 points with a great goal. We were the dominant team. Not really, but, you know, give credit to the Wanderers. They always show up for this game. They haven't showed up for the last 18 months, but they showed up for this one.
Mm-hmm.
How many days undefeated is it now, Flossie?
600 and something.
Yeah,
560,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's 665 now, 2 weeks or something.
There's a website dedicated to it.
Which is brilliant.
Fantastic.
But, we weren't... It was a cagey opening. The game settled. The Wanderers had probably more of the ball. I think we struggled for a lot of the game. The second half, Wanderers were clearly dominant, but I don't think it's an element of luck. I think it's something that Arnie's developed over the season a bit. He's been here. We seem to play all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
It also helped a lot that the Wanderers don't have a goal scorer. And Milos was able to get the winner at the end, so it was good.
What a flop is there, Marquee, whatever his name is.
Pio Vaccari or something his name is. He's a dope.
He just looks hopeless on the field in any of their games, and I'm really happy they signed him. Great signing.
Next to Redmayne, that was their next best signing.
Yeah, Redmayne.
Dino Kresinger with hair.
He's the longest...
serving players?
Longest keeper for...
Oh, he's conceded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No sheets in 16 games or something like that. Which
no,
really?
18.
Yeah, 18, something like that.
It's 18,
wow.
Yeah.
Stopped on the weekend, but good on him for touching goals like that, kicking goals.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
So was that goal of theirs offside or onside?
Offside.
It was offside, man.
Well, I can get their idea. It's a split second, and to be fact, the linesman picked it up pretty quickly, so... You know, if there was doubt, the linesman wouldn't have called it, and it would have been called a goal.
He had a clear view, body was offside, bad luck, chuck. Too bad, so sad. Learned how to stay onside.
See, I watched it from the pub here, and the linesman was in line with the last defender, so it's no doubt that it was offside.
Yeah, like a lot of people have been arguing, saying, but Fatty's foot kept him onside. How does one foot keep a player who's already offside?
And the other thing is, the linesman's not going to look at his fucking foot. He's going to sit there and go, his full body is offside. He's not going to look down and go, oh, fuck, he's got his fucking toenail that's brought him onside. Fuck him.
As you can tell, South is still a bit angry.
Angry Southie.
Oh, God. No, 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 Southie, no! All right. So
the goal. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, look, at the end of the day, do you think we deserved that win?
Yes. Always. The answer will always be yes.
They didn't put a goal in other than their offside goal, so how else do they expect to win? So we put in a good ball, Ninkovic fucking hit it nicely, and it went in. So
I think it just goes to show more where they missed a hell of a lot of goal. We, again, like the previous two games, put some shots on target, but didn't have any venom to it. But given they have Redman in goals, it was bound to come at some point. So again, Anil, who's performed well in the first few games, put in that good ball.
It's actually been really good. I can see why talk about him, off about him all the time.
I'm not batting him off, I'm talking about him. But yeah,
a little bit of column B.
Yeah, but Anil's probably been the standout performer for us in the first three games, and he's had a lot of involvement, breaking down plays, participating in attacking opportunities, creating goal scoring opportunities. So, you know, it was a great ball by him through, and the touch that Milos had, he didn't even look to control. It was just to take the speed off the ball, and he's put the ball past Redmayne and. Who's your daddy? Three points on the pitch.
What a glorious goal to score at that late stage in the game at against those people up the other end was fantastic. It was a pretty dull game up until that point at the pub here. And then when it went in, it was just beer showers all around, bat and ball.
Delirium.
I didn't actually realise that we did the Lolman.
We did it right at the end, like after full time.
I didn't even realise I was right at the front at that point. And I'm seeing footage and I'm like, fuck, we did the Poznan. And I'm like, wait, when did this happen?
End of game Poznan is always awesome.
Yeah. Moving on to the following week, we played against Central Coast down at Gosford.
Up at Gosford.
You always get this wrong. You're always saying up when it's down and down when it's up. Yeah. What do you say to your missus? Go up on me?
Yes.
Fuck.
Yes.
She sucks her chin off her.
Yeah, she moves my beard out of the way and then doesn't go to work.
You guys are rubbish.
Alright,
back to the game.
Yeah, so you two, Boris and Southie, went down to the game. Up to the game. I ended up being stuck at home, babysitting and trick-or-treating with both of my boys.
You were going to say your boyfriend then.
No.
That's what it sounded like you were going to say.
Jeez, I was going to get jealous.
You're the only one for me, Floss.
Thanks, brother.
Stop rubbing his dick.
How did you guys enjoy it? Enjoy the day? Anything you guys see up there?
All right, so let's start with the train ride up. How was it?
I don't know. I caught a car up.
I was at the Gaelic and was pretty blind by the time I got on the train. And by the time I got off the train, I was really, really blind. And then I don't remember much of the gameplay itself. Just a couple of hazy memories, I guess.
I can verify that. I was sitting near Southie.
Most importantly, were you wearing Hawaiian shirts?
No.
What is the go with those Hawaiian shirts?
This was Alex's idea.
You're by the beach, mate.
Yeah, this is like an old idea. Little Nick came up with it saying... wear Hawaiian shirts so we can have a weekend at Bernie's.
That's shit. Bernie doesn't even play for them or us
anymore. Yeah.
The only relevance was that it was palm trees on our fucking Hawaiian shirts when
the Mariners have got it on theirs now.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey man, we've got to blend in.
Something different.
Yeah.
New casuals.
Can I just say something about
Hawaiian shirts?
About Central Coast Stadium, you know they don't have FBOS anywhere in that ground?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh. Yeah. My mate went to buy some food and he was told, no FBOS, you have to get to the ATM machine down the other side of the stand. So he had to walk 150 metres to the ATM machine, come back, he's carried on with this conversation, he's gone, the chick who was serving him, she says, do you guys have FBOS at the stadium in Sydney? And he looked at her and went, yeah, why don't you guys? And she looked at him dumbfounded that there was an FBOS at the stadium.
Really?
They've only just moved on from the old
gravel
coke machines, you know, where they used to put the card in, pull the thing over, give you the slip.
Sign the slip.
Yeah, we've got PayWave and they're just moving on to FBOS machines
now.
Yeah.
Well, they don't even have an FBOS machine.
No, but the game itself, I didn't think, from my vantage point, I was too close to the pitch to have a good idea of how it went, but it felt like we're still looking for our groove.
It wasn't
that good.
First half was pretty back and forth. Coming to the ending of the first half, Mariners really were putting the pressure onto us.
Yeah.
That whole red card that...
That was deserved. Stupid of him, like...
Yanyetovich deserved a red card. That was no shadow of a doubt. From where I was sitting in front of the TV.
Yeah. Well, like, once you see it on the actual TV...
Yeah, see, I haven't seen it on TV. When I saw it live at the ground...
Look, if you've seen it like that...
ball deviated off his hand...
The ball deviated off his hand after he hit the player.
It
didn't look like that at the ground, but
yeah,
I didn't think it was a penalty live at the stadium, but others are saying it was definite. But
neither did the ref, and that's the most important part.
It's good to see that our
old mate that got sent off deserved it, because he was just spiteful of what just happened.
Sore loser, just like their team.
The crowd went wild when he got sent off. What about Yanyetovich? Booze were gone for about 10 minutes after.
Yeah. It's
brilliant. But Smelty got off the mark in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But
then we switched right off.
Right off. It was disgusting. The guys were still chanting for the goal, singing and clapping and all that. And I was sitting there just going, no, wait. It's something bad's going to happen here. And came the tap in. I think there's still a lot of work to be done defensively for us. Probably helped that Fitzgerald got sent off, and that sort of put the tide in our favour. But yeah, I think we still have issues up front and in defence.
Yeah, like
midfield wise, we seem to be set, especially with O'Neill dictating at that as the pivot. But yeah, we're still looking. It's very obvious that we're still looking for our rhythm.
Yeah, like once Arnie made those changes, took off an arm off.
Yeah.
I can't remember who else took off. And then he put on Hall and Matt Simon.
Yeah.
That really changed the game for us.
Simon.
Yeah.
Same.
My hero.
Oh, everybody's hero on Saturday. Was the same two substitutions he made last week in the derby.
Mm-hmm.
And they both had the same impact then. But against the Mariners, they had a greater impact. Simon's probably looked the best he has all season.
Yeah. Look, I think it's just because Simon had a point to prove.
Didn't he make that point?
Twice.
I think Arnie made it louder, though.
Yeah. Arnie telling him, and you didn't want him. Look at him now. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But in saying that, Simon's goals were two goals that any striker would be happy with anywhere in the world. It was a great finish with his foot.
That header as well. Fantastic.
Torres. Fuck me. Like, if he did that to Yanko all last year, Yanko would have scored a whole lot more goals than that.
Yeah.
Like, that service was
amazing. I think you got to look at it differently too now. Now that O'Neill's playing as a pivot, Tavares gets more of a chance to float a little bit further up front. So if he's got those skills within him to play through balls and those opportunistic passes that lead to goal-scoring chances, that's what you got to take into account. It's a different game plan last year with him and Antonis pivoting last season, letting Miloš Dimitrijević run up front to support Yanko where he could. And it's a difference. So you can see, like, some of the plans are evolving, but as I said, I think we've still got a bit of issues up front with the striking and who's going to be the regular goal scorer, because I'm pretty sure Simon's now a leading goal scorer for the season.
Yes, correct.
Two goals in what, less than a half of football?
Two fantastic goals.
Oh, brilliant.
Once they went in, we just, our team just went up.
Yeah.
Mariners crumbled.
That was it.
As they usually do.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, I think we've got like a run of two games winning up there.
Yeah. That's good because Matty Simon was their highest goal scorer.
Really?
Mariners' highest goal scorer.
Yeah, he's the record goal scorer for the Mariners.
45 goals.
Oh, really?
So the train trip back, I want to disperse a myth that I was giving birth. I was very drunk and making very loud, weird noises to piss some bird off. And she was really angry at the end of it. she pretty much said that this is why you got no girlfriend, which I pulled out the line that my missus is hotter than you. And
ooh, wouldn't have been happy with that.
Oh, dude, she was burning, but great yeah,
but,
trip.
But honestly, fucking Southie's punching well above his weight here. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
Southie or the missus?
Oh, fuck, both. Good on him, but.
Cool. All right, so let's see if we can give Pete a call and get him involved and, yes, talk about W League. All right, so here we got our usual special guest, Pete. Want to say hi to the people, Pete?
Hello from the Majestic Butterfly. Good to see everyone back for another week of the podcast.
Yes, yes, yeah. Sorry about last week. I was really goddamn sick. But
that's yeah. Right, you're excused. Everyone's allowed to get sick from time to time, so it's all good, mate. It's all good.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's talk about the... Yeah, the first game, which would have been Sydney FC versus Canberra United. Yeah, I saw the scoreline, which is about 3-0, which played the same day as a men's Sydney Derby. Did you manage to get any of the highlights there, Pete?
I've managed to watch the highlights of that game, so I have seen what's been going on. Unfortunately, I did spend the weekend away from most of technology, which was kind of a positive to get away from it, but the bits that I did see were definitely bright sparks.
No, that's good, that's good. Yeah, usually Canberra are pretty much one of the strongest W League teams, so it's kind of shows you where we're at the moment with that game. But the week after we played, we had the first W League Sydney Derby down at Parramatta, which was it a curtain raiser for the
Perth Glory
versus Wanderers yep. game? Did you manage to catch that one, Pete, or any of you guys?
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't actually get to that game. Things got in the way and I just couldn't make it out there. But from all reports, it was an interesting environment. It was something a little bit different from what some people kind of expected. The hospitality might not have been as welcoming as we might have preferred.
Yeah, but in terms of the football
delivered. So as much as there are negatives, there are definitely some positives along the way.
Yeah, so from what we understand is the girls got put up in Rose Hill Racecourse to do the change room, which was even smaller than the normal change room because the Wanderers didn't want to evict Perth Glory from the change room. So the girls had to bus it in and out of the grounds just to get changed, pretty much.
No showers.
No showers either. Wow.
So, you know, it's a typical thing for the Wanderers, I guess, having no showers. But
it's a bit shocking. Like, you'd expect somebody, like teams like this, to be a bit more, at least a bit more professional and like at least work figure these things out before they have something like that, but what can you do?
Just goes to show you the professionalism of the Wonderflops, huh?
Yeah, no, that's true.
I think it was a bit disappointing. We were kind of advised not to go to this game based on what happened at the Derby here, so you know, a lot of people were turned away from actually attending the game. So I think for our girls, you know, next time we show up in big numbers because, you know, there was nothing there. It was less than 1,000 people actually at the game watching it, so it was a bit disappointing. If it's the curtain raiser, you expect, you know, the active support of each group to actually turn up.
Yeah, even the Wanderers weren't there. Even the RBB wasn't there for it.
Oh, really?
No RBB, no Labanda, no nothing. So, you know, the whole idea of a curtain raiser is to get these girls to have, play in front of bigger crowds. If the home team don't actually supply that crowd, that's pretty poor from my point of view. I think they're, you know, not doing the girls any justice. Yeah.
No, they're not. And especially since the women's team's pretty goddamn strong team, so, yeah.
So, in the game that I watched it on TV at home. Lena Karmas teared them up. Scored a really good goal and a very scrappy goal. We led 2-0 up until about the 80th minute, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Then the Wanderers scored one, and the girl that scored it, she didn't even look like... She thought she was offside. She just didn't know what she'd done. She looked so, I don't know, lost. Like, she didn't even realise that she'd scored, pretty much.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, I didn't get to watch that game the day after, so... Well, that's good. I think we've lost...
Pete,
yeah.
No, I'm still here. I'm just enjoying listening to you guys talk about football. So, if you want me to jump in, I'm more than happy. We'll
have
the weekend. Like what Southie has said, Lena was definitely a key part. Dan Barrett even brought up in his post-match interview about how important Lena is to the team, how she's been around the squad for a long time. She's well-respected by not only the players but the coaching staff. She's one of the key members who really drives that team forward. And realistically, after her setback in the last few years of injuries and whatnot, she's now got bigger and stronger, and she's looking a lot better in that forward line for the Sky Blues. So basically, the girls got back to what they do best, which is playing simple football. They made sure that T. Pelias had plenty of possession, playing through that middle. And Lena Karmas was there to be able to get herself two goals at the back of the net. So to be able to get our first win of the season was fantastic. Obviously, it's even better when you beat our rivals. But at the same time, to be able to have Lena Karmas being able to score two goals and be able to have the team who probably deserved to be starting, that makes it even better. One of the definite bright sparks for me was the fact that Princess Beanie came on with around about 20 minutes left to go, and she really changed how our forward line looked, playing almost as a second striker. She definitely had her body in the right position. She was looking up. She was trying to bring more players into the game. For me, the more game time that she gets, especially as this season rolls on, we're going to see her really shine.
I think one of the things with Princess, I think she was a little too quick at one point, and she overran the ball in front of the goals. And, you know, if she was just a little bit slower, she would have had an open goal to kick into. So I think the timing of her runs needs a little bit of adjustment, but she definitely had a really good game.
That's also being young and being excited and being so pumped up to be on the field. Like, she's so anxious in a way that she's just willing to jump at it. So I get what you mean about having to slow herself down at times and having to really process. And really, that comes with match experience. And the longer she's on that field and the more experience she gets, the better she's going to become at being able to make those decisions at the right time.
Yeah, 100%. Princess is one of the players that we've actually sponsored, which is a good segue into what we've done. So with the sponsorship, we actually had more money come into us than what we needed for the sponsorship. So we're actually giving Sunny, Princess and Lindsay a pair of boots. Believe it or not, most of the girls don't have boot sponsors, and they actually pay full retail for their boots. So we're giving all the girls that we sponsored a new pair of boots, and we should have that sorted out by next week.
Fantastic from Dunlop work.
No.
It's going to shit, boys. That's fantastic stuff.
We actually got it through Rebel. One of the directors of Sydney FC works for Rebel, and she's given us staff pricing, so it's great for the girls. They get a free pair of boots, and hopefully we can keep pushing the women's game. This week we've got who this week, Pete?
So this weekend is round four of the competition. We are playing host to Perth Glory on Sunday the 4th, 4 p.m. kickoff. We're up at Lambert Park out in Leichhardt. So definitely it's a home game. If you are a Sydney FC member, get down to that game, because obviously it is free to be able to enter as a member. It's definitely a chance to be able to show off what we can do against the side of Perth Glory, who are basically doing the same as what we are at the moment in a way. Perth Glory are stuck in that middle of the pack so far. They've won one, they've drawn one, they've lost one. So basically this could be a game which kind of sets a top four in place and starts to move and shake the table up a little bit.
So score prediction on this one, Pete?
This one here is going to be somewhat of a tough one to pick. Based on how we played against Wanderers, if we keep that same shape, that same energy, I don't believe that we won't have much of an issue to be able to get past Perth Glory. At the moment, I'm edging towards almost a 2-0 win over Perth Glory.
Nice.
No more seven... Oh, what was the last time we played them, where we had the barbecue, Pete?
Oh, mate, that was a fantastic day.
Yeah.
That was a great day out of the sun. If we could replicate that, that would be absolutely amazing, and I'll bring out the barbecue again, and we can start having the tailgate barbecue down at Lambert Park or something.
Yeah. Well, if the girls can have 20 shots on goal like they did against the Wanderers on the weekend, I think they'll do them over without a problem.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Just need to put some in the back of the net.
Yeah, no, we do. Cool. All right, thanks for all that, Pete. And we'll catch you, probably catch you on Sunday at the game.
Perfect. Thank you very much. See you later, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Bye.
So we've asked a few questions of the fans, and we've got a Wellington Phoenix guy, Keegan Check, asking us, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Well, I've had a run-in with a couple of ducks in my time growing up out west, and they got pretty powerful beaks. Can you imagine one of those supersized, the size of a horse? I think I'd go the 100 duck-sized horses, yeah.
Be a bit like Quokka Soccer at Rockness Island, I've heard. You just sit, run around and kick them, so...
I'd punt them.
Yeah. Jeez,
don't let Peter hear about these. They'll be all over it.
I'd just rather have a 10-year license, that's all.
Oh.
Savage.
Burn.
Next question, please.
So before we do that, let's just imagine for 1 second if horses were carnivorous. How fucking scary would they be?
Imagine
Melbourne Cup, they're carnivorous horses running around them. Wouldn't just be the fucking horse. It wouldn't be the horses that die. It would be the jockeys, mate.
Just imagine these guys riding a horse-sized duck down the end straight.
That would be amazing.
You'd be, you know what? You'd be throwing loaves of bread in front of it to make it run.
There is a duck-sized horse.
Really?
Do you remember? It was the Sydney Festival a couple of years ago. There was a big inflatable yellow duck.
A rubby ducky in Cobb Bay Wharf.
Yeah.
And it was also down at...
I'm pretty sure it was about the size of 10 horses.
Yeah. Trojan horse. Trojan duck.
Yeah.
The Trojan duck that doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. So, next question is from Vesh.
Oh, God.
And this is going to...
Pokemon bullshit.
This is going to be a shit question. When wiping Wanderers off your ass, do you scrunch or fold the toilet paper?
Ooh.
Told you, it's a shit question.
Was that a joke or...?
Yeah, it was a joke. It was
poorly received.
Nah, but I actually fucking fold my toilet paper, I guess. That's a weird
scrunch.
I want to know who it is in my household that has the fucking roll facing the wrong way around on the holder. I haven't brought it up until now, but it fucks me off up the wall.
It's either Southie or Grimmy.
It's not Grimmy, I can tell you that now.
Well, this is awkward.
Walkies. Easy.
They teach you that one in the Navy, mate.
Yeah. Reverse. Next one is from a Wanderers fan. So, this is interesting. Do you think the Wanderers fans got off lightly by being called grubs?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's on the statement.
Well, who called them grabs?
The police today.
The New South Wales Police Association president referred to them as grubs.
So you got to wonder, though. These guys are supposedly, like, meant to be anti-football, and they're using a rugby league term saying, you're grubs. Every fucking state of origin. Oh, grub this, grub that. Kind of reinforces the fact that the police aren't really football inclined, so...
No.
But
the other thing you got to ask your question is, why is there a Senate in hearing about the police tactics against Wanderers fans.
Well, it's actually based on a nanny state inquiry about wearing covered up motor helmets and all sorts of other little things. It's not solely about the RBB.
So then why did it pick it up as a solely as an RBB thing? That's how it's being portrayed in the media and
The two politicians that brought it up are both members of Western Sydney Wanderer. So I've been told.
And
they're both Liberal Democrats?
One's a Liberal Democrat and I think one's Labour.
Oh, really?
Do they both have offices or seats out that way?
Not too sure.
I think they're just trying to get some votes by, as I think Alex said earlier, fighting for the people.
Yeah. It's really a weird thing to have.
It's probably not a good look in Australia either that you have a kid posing the balaclava either.
ACAB.
Yeah, that too, but in some respects, they earned that title too.
All cops are best friends.
Yep.
All cops are buddies.
All cops are buddies. Hashtag.
Yeah, my mates. Invite himself over at 6 a.m. in the morning. Thanks, guys.
That also leads me to another question. Like, how bad is it? Do they even talk to the police? Or do they even, like...
Look, we can really only go off what we know from our end, and I can tell you that they didn't talk to the police at all at Surry Hills. And
oh, really?
The Surry Hills police were absolutely fuming. There was no negotiations. They just came in and pretty much did what they wanted to do. To be honest, Surry Hills police were not impressed. And I think the funny thing is all cops are going to talk to each other. So, you know, if you're going to piss off someone else in another local area commander, they're going to talk to each other and they understand the different supporter groups. By not talking this one, just means that they've got another part of ammunition to go against the Wanderers. So Floss has brought up a photo of the girl at the races who...
pushed over a cop. Fantastic. Good work.
And look, sober while she was doing it.
She's obviously a Wanderer supporter. She's anti-police.
Melbourne Victory. She's got a V-neck and wearing a blue dress.
I'll give you the red hot tip, but if you've got Strikeforce Raptor, who deals with bikies on a daily basis, watching your home end, then maybe you want to have a look at yourselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, to an extent he's right, because if you've got that type of police or that part of the police force looking at you, then at some point your intelligence has got to kick in and say, well, why is a special operations group?
Yeah.
But you know, let's think about this. What they're doing affects every single homeowner, because if the police think that, you know, all these giant restrictions on standing on seats or clapping overhead, and it actually makes a small difference, it actually kind of affects us in a way where their cops go, oh, you know, the COVID been behaving badly, this is what we're going to implement. So, you know, I hope the restrictions are thrown out because they're ridiculous. And they really just need to focus on proper policing, not fucking thinking about what stupid restrictions they can put on a supporter group by actually punishing the supporter groups where it hurts. And that would be deducting the Wanderers 3 points for every misbehaved incident.
The FFA won't do it, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. They won't do it.
Oh, because later I will sit there and go, I'm pulling my money out, you're harming my investment. And yeah, it's just a vicious circle.
Of course, when there's money involved.
Yeah.
That's what talks.
All right, so let's...
One more question.
Oh, one more question.
So okay. We've got Capo Slowey.
Oh,
my name's Capo Slowey. Oh, hello, everyone.
So I just did a little dance.
I'm going to answer before you read
Slowey
it.
Slowey and Arnie know exactly that dance.
So, basically, he goes, thoughts on Smeltz. Did he do enough to keep Simon out of the first team?
No.
Yes.
Well, we had a bit of a conversation on this on one of the pages on Facebook where one of the boys brought it up and he goes, Smeltz, he's doing nothing for the team. What's he doing on there? And then dead set, no longer than 20 seconds later, he put one in the back of the net.
So
the question was already raised as if he is doing enough to stay in the first squad. So
I think Simon's a good impact player. He muscled over a couple of plays in the last, what game was that? Melbourne City. He pretty much took a guy out.
Oh, that was against Newcastle.
Was it Newcastle?
Yeah, remember?
No, oh, it was at home.
He played against City. Didn't play against Newcastle.
Mm.
Didn't play against Wanderers.
Yeah, it was the City game where he came in and he pretty much cleaned him up. Yeah. But, insane. I think he's a good impact player. And value for money, he is very good value.
I think Smilts needs to see the pine, get used to it for a bit. I think Simon offers more. He's getting into more goal-scoring opportunities than Smilts is. But for maybe a bit of a lack of coordination or maybe match fitness, he's missed a couple of golden opportunities. He had a good chance, I think, against the Wanderers last week, just missing a header.
Mm-hmm.
But he offers a different dimension in attack. He's more aggressive. He's willing to take out... he's willing to attack players and attack the opposition defenders and just get on their nerves a bit. So whereas Smeltz is more likely to chase down an opponent if he thinks he can just put a bit of pressure on them, but won't challenge. And I think that's the difference between the two. And I think Matty Simon is probably more the informed player out of the front two strikers.
I have to agree with you there. Like, Smeltz, he's not...
Smeltz, like, he can't take the working... his work rate away from him at the moment. He's running around a lot, but he's not finding the goal, even though he scored against the Mariners. But if you look at his shots closely, most of his shots are going straight up in the air.
Do you reckon he'd be better coming off the bench or starting?
Yeah, I think he's better coming off the bench. He showed last season off the bench he was more impact. I think he scored more of his goals off the bench last season.
End of the second half.
Yeah, I think that's... probably where he needs to see his value. And it's not always that bad being an impact player off the bench. You look at someone like Solskjaer for Man United, who came off the bench and was always a great impact player. So, you know, there's no shame in that. Everyone has a job to do, so.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so moving on to the next game is this Friday against Brisbane Roar at home, which is pretty much a top of the table clash.
The stingiest defence versus the best attack.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't watched any Brisbane Roar games yet.
They've scored the most goals in the league so far.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And this is John Aloisi, right?
Who knew? The bloke learned how to manage a football team.
With his brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Ross is there as well.
I would say his brother's more the brains behind the operation than John.
I like Ratto.
They brought up a photo of them on the Sunday shootout the other day.
That was
Fox with some terrible haircuts.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible. 90s.
Have you seen Arnie's fucking mullet?
Oh yeah.
Rubbish.
And rubbish. And Moe as well. It's great.
Good times.
Ross Aloisi is probably pulling more of the strings there. He did some magic work with a Lady Reds team in the W League that had been poor for a couple of seasons running, where they hadn't even won a game, I think, for two seasons. And he turned them around and got them playing some good football, and they improved gradually during his reign. So I think he's got the brains up in that operation.
Cool. So who do you think we should keep an eye out for?
I don't think they're at full strength, because I think Jamie McLaren's up with the Ollie Roos.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly Brandon Borriello too. Or Borrello, whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
They're the two main hitmen so far this season. So if they've lost those players to national team duty, I think we don't have too much to worry about. I don't think Broish is having the same impact.
No. So who did we lose to the Ollie Roos? So we've lost Hull and
Namoff,
yeah.
That's it.
I don't think Namoff is a big loss. He's been coming good. His speed's pretty decent.
Hull was much more impressive against the Mariners than he was against the Wanderers.
Yeah, 100%. As for Brisbane, like, you look at this team, and you're like, you know, I basically tipped them for wooden spoon. So still early part of the season, so they could really flop out. But I think... for this game, I reckon it's going to be a draw.
I reckon we could suffer our first one of our first losses in a few games. So we haven't lost in the last four. So depends if we're sharp on the day or not. If we did like we did against the Wanderers, then we're going to go down.
We'll win 2-1.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be some jammy goal right last minute again.
Philip Polosko at the double.
See, I've been saying goals right at the end, but I don't know. I just think a draw.
Break that hoodoo last week.
Yeah.
Told in the first half.
Yeah. And then two goals in the second half.
Oh, fantastic. Magic. Matty Simon.
He's in my FIFA team now. No, he's not.
So, last couple of topics is new merch. So, we do have a new merch run coming through. New shirts will be available late November.
Cool. Yeah, and if you get a chance, yeah, jump on, pre-order one. Just makes a bit things a bit more easier for us.
So. If you guys have got any designs as well and you want to send them through, we can have a look at them.
Yeah, we're always open for ideas.
Yeah. The worst we can do is say no. Fuck off.
Cool. All right, so that's been nothing but Blue Skies podcast. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Cheers,
thank
guys. You. Bye.
Charge your laptop, Alex.
Listen to Bort.
Prob.